So you think you had a busy week? In 6 days, God creates an entire cosmos replete with stars, moons, and planets. And on one specific planet that you may be familiar with, God establishes an entire ecosystem and populates it with a myriad of life forms. 6 days. Now, it's not, you know, not exactly a 24-hour day. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, you've got a little metaphor going on there, you know, but still, this God is a creative powerhouse. And on the seventh day, God sits back and rests. The Hebrew word is Shabbat, or as we've come to know it, the Sabbath. Now, this begs an interesting question. Does God need to rest? I mean, granted, that was a lot of output, but, you know, God rests? What is this Shabbat business about? With injustice movements, you hear people talk about how to maintain the work in the long term. Interviewers will ask movement leaders, how do you recharge? Lots of people think that that's what Sabbath is about. We work hard, we need to rest to keep going. At one level, the commandment to rest is just good, practical advice from our beloved Creator. But my friends, Sabbath is about much more than this. You may know that my other church is a synagogue. I've been a member of Congregation Beit Simchat Torah for about 5 years now. Thank you. People often ask me why I go to CBST, and the answer is pretty simple. It's a queer synagogue with an exquisite liturgy. The rabbis at CBST are brilliant, kind human beings who are deeply committed to social justice. You will meet one of them, very dear friend of mine, Rabbi Marisa James, when she comes to preach here next week. I have learned so much from her and from the other rabbis at CBST in the time that I've been here. And honestly, it's not just Judaism that I've learned about. I have learned so much about the roots of Christianity and what it is we are supposed to be doing when we talk about our faith. Observant Jews take the commandment to observe the Sabbath very seriously. So to understand the Sabbath, I want to invite you to go to the source with me and learn a bit about what happens in a Shabbat liturgy. Okay, so how many people here have been to a Shabbat liturgy? Ever?
Okay, all right, good.
Okay. Linda's like, yeah, well, maybe, sort of, okay. All right, well, big invitation. This coming Friday, March 3rd, a group of Lydians will go to Shabbat at CBST, and we want you. So, look at your calendar. If you can come 6:30, next Friday evening, we'll all go together. And if you can come, here are a few highlights of what you'll experience in the service. Now, the first thing to know about Judaism is that it is inherently a musical tradition. And in some ways, I always think this is one of the ways that St. Lydia's is true to our Jewish roots. Most of a Shabbat service is sung, like ours. Standing next to the rabbi at the bima, or altar, is a cantor. A cantor is a member of the clergy, seminary educated, and ordained. At Shabbat, everyone sings, or tries to sing, whether they know the music or not, whether they can carry a tune or not. But the effort speaks volumes consistently, as we here at St. Lydia's know so well. Music itself is a language God speaks. It has the power to bring us into the presence of the sacred like nothing else. The Friday Shabbat service starts at sunset, and so the first thing we do is light our Shabbat candles. Two candles, go to a store where, I actually got these on the Lower East Side. They look like this. Is it great? Because Shabbat is often done at home, actually. And the candles go like that. And if you've ever seen people, some people will cover their eyes, right? So I'm going to light these, and what I want you to do is, once the candles are lit, you cover your eyes, okay? Okay, you ready? Okay, cover your eyes.
Don't look.
We would be singing. I'm not going to sing the Sabbath candle blessing, but it's a beautiful, blessing. Wait for it. Okay. I'm told that people cover their eyes so that when they open them, now open them, they see the lit candles and they know Shabbat has begun. Hmm. Much of the service on a Friday night is about establishing sacred space together and entering it together. Later in the service, people will cover their eyes again to recite the Shema. These words from Deuteronomy 6:4 are central to Jewish identity. So you take one hand and use it to cover your eyes. And I'm going to do this, it's short, briefly in Hebrew and then in English. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, Adonai is our God, Adonai alone. And you uncover your eyes. Keeping Shabbat, is about putting aside distractions of daily life. In reciting the Shema, we literally close our eyes to outside distractions and concentrate on the meaning of these words. But my favorite moment in Shabbat, and a lot of people, this is a lot of people's favorite, is when we sing Lecha Dodi. Lecha Dodi means, come my love. And it's this beautifully intimate sung poem. Come my love, let us welcome Shabbat. The words were written during the Spanish Inquisition, when Jews in Spain were facing terrible persecution. The poem draws on Isaiah's message of hope that we sing with regularity, arise, shine, for your light has come. Lecha Dodi is a potent reminder every week that even in times of fear and suffering, and perhaps especially in times of fear and suffering, it matters to make time to be close to God. It matters to find joy. It matters to feel gratitude. As Lecha Dodi comes to a close, members of the congregation stand, if you're able, stand. And we all turn as we're singing and face the door, the actual door. We face the door and bow. And we welcome in Shabbat. It's actually the Shabbat queen, sort of Shabbat personified, but you bow in order to welcome in Shabbat. You can sit down. Now, these are all gorgeous traditions, but why focus on this business of resting? I mean, why do people keep Shabbat? Just because God told Moses to do it? Is it just about following a commandment? I have a few thoughts about this. First, let's notice something in our text from Genesis. Look at verse 27. If anybody's got it up, can we read verse 27? Or at least the first, sort of half of it.
So God created.
Go ahead.
So God created humans in their image. In the image of God, they created humans. Male and female, they created humans.
God created, thanks, Mark. God creates us in God's image. Then God offers us some instruction we heard here. Be fruitful, multiply, yada yada. Very dialectic. I am God, you are my creatures, I will tell you what to do. But when God rests, God isn't telling us what to do. God is modeling something for us. Just like a parent creates familial identity for children simply by doing things that we do together as a family, God rests. God invites us to rest with God. We nestle in, and in that quiet intimacy, we soak up something of what it means to be made in the image of God. A couple of days ago, I was talking with a doctoral student in clinical psychology who specializes in LGBTQ experience. He asked me, "Why do you think some queer and trans folks are crushed by religious trauma and others survive it?" I told him what I've observed again and again when I'm traveling and speaking with people. Some folks talk about religious authority as if it existed outside of themselves and is being imposed on them. "My preacher holds up the Bible and says these terrible things about who I am, but it's my preacher. It's the Bible. Who am I to say they're wrong?" Other people have a clear sense of identity that comes from within. "I feel God. Deep in my heart, I know who God is, and I know who I am. When someone comes at me from outside to tell me that I'm an abomination, I know they're wrong." That inner knowledge of connection to God, that sense of identity, is what keeps people alive. Keeping Shabbat is one of the most important ways that Jews nurture an inner sense of identity. A deep sense of connection to God, even in the midst of a world that is often violently hostile to Jewish people. In Exodus, God commands Israel to keep Shabbat. The Hebrew word for keep is v'shamru. V'shamru can also be translated to guard Shabbat. Those of us who went to CBST on yesterday morning, that's what we were doing. We were helping guard Shabbat. Not in a militaristic sense, just by entering into this space intentionally and allowing other people to relax into it. Guard Shabbat. Preserve the time, the text tells us, honor it, guard it. Once a week for 26 hours, with an hour on each side of the day, just to make sure you don't miss a single second of Shabbat. Place yourself in the path of God's sustaining presence. Remember your value as God's precious beloved, not just because it's a nice thing to do, but because it is essential for your life. Every week, right in the middle of the service, congregants stand up to sing these words, V'shamru, from Exodus. And I'm going to play a little video clip for you, actually from CBST over here. And there you go. Now this is actually, thank you. This is a page from the actual CBST Siddur. They have their own prayer book, page 102, V'shamru. Now, V'shamru is really special to me because it was the first song I learned by heart. The cantor at the time, a lovely guy named Steve, I was asking him about it, like, which one is that? And I love that beautiful thing you do where we all sing the chorus and then you go off and it's like this mystical moment. And he's like, that's the V'shamru. I said, I love the one where you go off and do your own thing. They have different settings. Just like for us, we have different settings for our liturgy. There are different settings for these different songs. You never know what's gonna come up. Anyway, he started calling it Liz's Mistral Group. Kind of my favorite thing. Okay, so I'm going to play this for you, but before I do, let's do our St. Lydia's thing. And here's, so you can see the way this works. So you've got the Hebrew up at the top, and if you speak Hebrew, you can read it right out of there. But below that, there, this is the English translation right here. So that's the piece from Exodus that draws on the piece from Genesis that we read. There's a special insert here that we won't sing that's designed for special occasions. And then the part that's bracketed, that's the transliteration. And what we're going to hear, this is actually CBST, we're going to hear the cantor leading this. And the Shamru piece is the piece that we'll join in with. The CBST choir is also here. And you'll see that. And all we're going to say is this first line that starts with Shamru. Okay? So let me say this, and we'll break it up, and then you say this back to me. Okay? Vishamru v'nei Yisrael.
Vishamru v'nei Yisrael.
Et ha-shabbat.
Et ha-shabbat.
La asot et ha-shabbat.
La asot et ha-shabbat.
Le doratam berit olam.
Le-doratam berit olam.
Okay, now this is a setting by Moshe Rothblum. And let's hope that this all works. Hang on. Tibby, is this working?
Make sure it's on. Press the little Bluetooth.
Got it.
Go.
Oh, yeah, it's ready now. Okay, ready? 100%. Here we go. You don't see it?
And the Bluetooth speaker has volume buttons if you need to use them.
Yeah.
Also, please stand if you are able.
Thank you.
Amen.
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 We share the sermon at St. Lydia's.